ashabihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum, everyone. How's everyone doing? Alhamdulillah. So, inshallah, we're going to continue on. Myself and Ustad Murphy both are basically playing this crazy game of against time, where we're trying to, inshallah, finish a meaningful lesson by the time that Maghrib Salah comes in. So, inshallah, in another week or so, I believe we're going to be planning to begin the program after Salat al-Maghrib, inshallah. That way, we just have a little bit more time to engage. We can go back to the Q&A sessions that we normally do. But just for this week, inshallah, last week, we're going to kind of like do a little bit of a consolidated version of the regular main lecture. And then, inshallah, next week, we're going to be going back into the Q&A format, inshallah. Okay? So last week, alhamdulillah, we began the conversation of the idea of hypocrisy. Now, this chapter is titled Hypocrisy, but it has a lot to do with the idea of one, not fulfilling the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in fact, giving the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to other than Allah, okay? And this is problematic on multiple levels. As Imam al-Ghazali, rahimahullah, he begins to kind of pry away at this subject with his students, where he says, you have studied elaborate subjects in your life, right? And he lists all of these different ones, theology and medicine and poetry and astronomy and syntax and morphology, right? You've studied sarf and nahu, you've studied all these different things, but you have wasted your time against the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through this. Now, last week I mentioned that what this means is not that it's haram to engage in dunyai, you know, endeavors. Of course it's not. Anyone knows that a person who engages in any subject matter of the dunya, Muslims are not afraid of any subject, by the way. You know, there's like a lot of times we hear that, you know, religious people are afraid of certain topics. Why? Because it's a threat to their faith. It's a threat to their entire, you know, religious philosophy. And the reality is no. A person who's Muslim is not afraid of science at all whatsoever, actually. People who are Muslim are not afraid of medicine. In fact, there are hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam where he actually said in a very authentic manner that for every disease there is a cure. For every disease there is a cure. Awqamakala alayhi salatu wasalam. And this particular hadith, it is used as a really great evidence for a lot of people who go into other things like medicine and science and whatnot, right? But the problem that Imam al-Ghazali presents here is when a person pursues matters of the dunya in negligence of their rights that are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And I mentioned the examples of a person who says, yes, I want to get, you know, gain a good living. I want to go and I want to earn a degree so I can work hard and I can make money for myself and my family. But along the way, they forget to fulfill their salawat. They forget to pray their Jum'ah at the masjid. They forget to make their dua. They forget to do their adhkar. They forget to read their Quran. These are the ways in which dunya comes at the price of a person's the rights that they are that they should owe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? And so after this, he mentions something very, very interesting. He says, Inni ra'aytu fi al-injil. He goes, it is said in the gospel of Isa, Injili Isa alayhi salam, the gospel of Isa alayhi salam. And by the way, this is all, you know, Isra'iliyat, you know, these are narrations that are sometimes pulled from narrations before the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he says that there was a narration from the time before the Quran was revealed, before the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and it was attributed to Isa alayhi salam, that he said, from the moment that a body is placed on the funeral bed, okay? When it is placed on the funeral bed, until it is placed at the edge, ala shafir al-qabri, at the edge of the grave, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask this person 40 questions, okay? Subhanallah. You know, we look at the process of life and death. There's a video that came out today that Roots published from last week's class about the reality of death. That death is merely a journey that a believing soul takes from this dunya to their Rabb, to their creator, right? But even then, subhanAllah, I want you guys to think about this. The beauty of the process of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not allow a soul to perish in this dunya, and then immediately right away they go straight into the akhirah. What happens in between? They pass away, there's the rites of the janazah, they're wrapped, they're buried, they live a life of the grave that we call the barzakh, right? They live a life in the grave, and within this grave they have a period of time. They're asked certain questions. Now, there's a narration that mentions on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam what? That when a person is in their qabr, they're in their grave, they're asked three questions, right? And the questions are simple, and every single person here, by the way, should know these three questions. The questions are, who is your Rabb? Who's your Lord? What is your deen? And who is your prophet? These are the three questions. Any person who has like been Muslim for even like a few days will be able to know the responses to those questions. But why are three questions that are seemingly so simplistic, why will those three be asked the time when a person's in their grave? Because when a person's in their grave, they won't be so simply able to answer that unless they have those answers within their heart. It's easy to fake it till you make it in the dunya, y'all. I can go stand in salah for 40 minutes during salatul taraweeh. I can go and I can, you know, engage in a halaqa because, yeah, my friends are around me and I'm feeling the mood and I'm feeling the emotions and I feel like I want to be a part of this. But in the barzakh, you know, while you're in the grave and then you're asked those questions, you won't be able to answer those questions unless you truthfully believe in what you're saying. You'll be thinking Allah when the angel asks you who's your creator, but the word Allah will not exit your tongue. It will not exit your mouth. You know the answer of who is your prophet as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But a person who is absent from practicing the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will not be able to so easily utter his name. Why? Because this is a time in which the heart and the tongue will be one. In the dunya, the heart and the tongue are separate, right? The heart truly feels something, but the tongue sometimes is coerced to say something else. How true is that for everybody in here? Sometimes we feel a certain way, but we say something different, right? Somebody asks you, hey, how was the food? Delicious, right? Like your stomach is churning and like, you know, like how do I look? Amazing. I'm just kidding. Like, you know, it's, you want to say something, but the heart, right? The tongue, they're two separate things. By the way, anyone know Surah Al-Luqman, right? Surah Al-Luqman, the 31st chapter of the Quran. It talks about a man by the name of Luqman al-Hakim, Luqman the wise, right? There's a funny story from Luqman's life, by the way, where a person who was in like a position of authority during his time, they asked Luqman alayhi salam to slaughter a sheep and bring him the two best parts of the sheep. And so Luqman alayhi salam, he slaughtered the sheep and he brought this master of his the tongue and the heart, okay? And so then, after you know that part was over, the same person, he says, "Ya Luqman, slaughter another sheep and then bring me the two worst parts of the sheep, the two worst parts of this animal." And so Luqman, he slaughters another sheep and he brings to his master the tongue and the heart. And so the master, he says to Luqman, he says, "Ya Luqman, what are you doing? What game are you playing with me right now? I asked you to bring me the best and I asked you to bring me the worst and you brought me the two exact same vessels each time. What are you trying to say here?" And Luqman alayhi salam, he says, "Verily the tongue and the heart can be the best of ourselves if they are upright, or they could be the worst of ourselves if they're corrupted." And how along the same lines does the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam share his hadith? What does he say? He says that verily there's a piece of you, a morsel of flesh. وَإِذَا صَلَحَتْ صَلَحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ. If it is upright and straight, the rest of the body will be upright and straight. فَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ. If it is corrupted, then the rest of your body will be corrupted. أَلَا وَهِيَ الْقَلْبِ. He says that this is the heart. Subhanallah, how in line of the same advice do you find in the advice of Luqman alayhi salam? So, on the day in which you're buried, right? You'll be asked these questions. They're not going to be so easy to answer. You know, nowadays, like we think like, yeah, you know, I memorize those things. I can say them in my sleep. But the reality is, truth will come out that day unlike any other day that you've ever witnessed in your entire life. So the advice that the Prophet ﷺ, he gives us is, prepare for that day. Not just like you prepare for a test, by the way. Sometimes, and y'all know this, college students, students in general, y'all know, sometimes you can memorize facts for an exam. Yeah, this is the equation for that, and this is the, you know, the mitochondria is the powerhouse of the human cell. Like, whatever, like you can memorize that stuff and not know what in the world that means. You've memorized names of like presidents in U.S. history, and you have no idea who they are. You've memorized certain things in your class, and you have no idea. On the day in which you'll be asked by those malaika, you, unless you truly understand and believe the answers about what you're saying, your tongue will not be able to follow suit. So as much as we're so used to just memorizing and regurgitating, a part of our deen teaches us to internalize and understand and practice anything that you preach. Anything that you preach. Guys, what was one of the greatest evidences of the truthfulness of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? There was not one commandment that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave that anyone around him could claim that he does not follow. Not one. Not one. Be good to your neighbors, he's the best to his neighbors. Be good to your own family, he's the best to his own family. Be generous to those who have less than you, he is the most generous to those who have less than him. Spend time in the evening for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he used to spend the most time in the evening with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at this. I mean, there's nothing that you can take a dig at him saying that he doesn't do what he says to other people. And now look at where we are. It's a great lesson for all of us to really think about, like, you know, how sincere are we? And we're going to talk about that sincerity, inshallah, in just a moment. So he says here that in this particular narration from Isa alayhi salam, you will be asked 40 questions by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says here, أَوَّلُهُ the first of them will be this. يَقُولُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, O my servant, you have purified yourself in the sight of mankind for years, for decades. As long as I have allowed you to live, you have dedicated yourself for the sight of those around you. But you have not purified yourself for even 1 hour for me. You have not purified yourself for even 1 hour of me. What does this mean? This is a powerful statement, right? You think about the idea of purifying yourself for other people. What does that mean? He says that you have purified yourself in the sight of mankind for years. Now, subhanAllah, there's a powerful word here that's used. Imam al-Ghazali, he says, you have purified yourself in the, what did I say? Sight of other people. It's very visual. It's not internal. Can someone not look like the cleanest person on the outside but be the most filthy person internally? Exactly. So Imam al-Ghazali, he says, you've taken so much time to make sure that you dress nice, right? You smell good, you look presentable. Everything on the outside is perfect. Everything is up to shape. Everything is up to par. And you've spent day and night working hard to present yourself as this type of person to the public eye. That when you walk by, everyone's like, mashallah, that person's got their life set. That person looks like they have themselves put together. It seems like everything is good on the outside, right? And you do things for the eyes of other people, for the sight of other people. You are so worried about what other people will see of you, so that's all you care about. And I'll tell you guys something, subhanAllah, it's very, very, it's scary that a person who is so fixated on the sight of other people, they rob themselves of sincerity when those eyes are gone. When those eyes are no longer there, that person does not really care about the details anymore. When they present themselves in public, they are the greatest, you know, person who pays attention to detail. Everything has to be like this and everything has to be like that. But then when no eyes are on them, whole different human being. Whole different human being, okay? But then he says, but when it comes to me, ya ibadi, my servants, my worshippers, You have not even spent 1 hour to purify yourself for me. Okay? And, you know, subhanAllah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from ever being people who think of others before we think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We worry so much about the perception of other people that we completely forget about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala think. It's to the point in, within our acts of worship and our du'as and our adhkar and our salah and our Qur'an that we're constantly thinking about, like, hey, you know, am I praying in a way that if somebody walked in, they would be like, wow, that person's praying so beautifully. But while we're so concerned about the person who walked in to look or to see us, we're completely void of what Allah would think about us internally. SubhanAllah, I'll tell you something, it's so interesting. One of my teachers told me, he goes, somebody who quote-unquote prays beautifully could be standing beautifully in their salah, but they could be silently not reciting anything. They could just be standing there, just worried about what other people are thinking about them. They forget to recite Fatiha. They forget to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of those internals are missing, right? There's a reason why Islam is iman and a'mal. There's a reason why Islam is deeds and faith. Because if it was all deeds, then we would only be judged upon things that you can do on the exterior. There's also something called iman. Iman is something that you cannot see. SubhanAllah, when the Prophet ﷺ was answering those questions from Jibreel ﷺ, when Jibreel asked him, Ya Muhammad, akhbirni anil Islam. Teach me, tell me, inform me about Islam. What did the Prophet ﷺ say? The five pillars. He said, Tashhada an la ilaha illallah. Witnessing and testifying, there's only one God and the Prophet ﷺ is his final messenger. Salah, zakah, sawm, fasting, and hajj. All those things are external. You can see people praying. You can see people fasting. You can see people giving charity sometimes. You can see people in hajj. But then Jibreel alayhi salam, he asks him, Ya Muhammad, akhbirni an al-iman. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell me about iman. What does the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says? He says, iman is belief in Allah, belief in his angels, belief in his prophets, belief in his books, belief in the day of judgment, and belief in divine decree. Khayrihi wa sharrihi. Whether you think it is good or whether you think it is bad. Can you see any of those things? You cannot see Allah. You cannot see a person's belief in the angels. You cannot see a person's belief in the books. You cannot see a person's belief in the prophets. You cannot see a person's belief in the akhirah. The akhirah hasn't even happened yet. You can't see a person's belief in divine decree and their contentment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will. Those things are all internal. What do we call those six things? We call them the six pillars of iman. Why? Because there's a part of you that must be polished internally. There must be a part of you that is polished that no one else can physically see. Islam is the perfect balance between things that are unseen and things that are seen. If everything is seen, then there's nothing for us to worry about on the inside. And if everything is just internal, then we wouldn't have the motivation to get up and actually do things. So a Muslim is a person who is perfectly balanced in that full, holistic way. Right? And so he says here, oh my servant, you haven't even purified yourself for me in for one moment. Okay? And so what I share with everybody here is a great lesson, which is when you purify yourself for other people, you're purifying yourself on the outside. This is important. The Prophet ﷺ said this. He says, cleanliness is what? Half of your faith. Cleanliness. Yes, this is why you do wudu. This is why wudu is not internal. Somebody can't be like, yeah, I'm ready for prayer. Did you do wudu? Yeah, man, internally. What does that mean, Habibi? Like, yeah, you know, just did washing of my internal arm. Like, no. You have to wash yourself externally. This is a part of your faith. This is a part of your practice. But at the same time, even a person who does wudu can be void of purity when they say Allahu Akbar and they begin to stand there. So purifying yourself for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means purifying yourself for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala internally. Internally, okay? You know, subhanAllah, you know, it's so interesting, right? One thing that I always like to share when we go over this particular part of Ayyuhal Walad, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves your attention more than anyone else that you know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves your attention more than anyone else you know. This claim that Imam al-Ghazali is making, that Allah azza wa jal, he'll be telling somebody on the day in which they're buried in their their grave, that you've spent so much time for other people and you've not spent any time with me. It's like a person who, subhanAllah, and you guys know this kind of vibe, you know, when people come over to the house, you present yourself in a certain way, right? Yeah, you know, this is me, right? It's smiling, everyone's happy, alhamdulillah, right? Like, can I offer you some chai, some dessert, some coffee perhaps, right? And mashallah, you kick it with that person for like an hour and a half, 2 hours, the entire time you're like this, right? And then as soon as like the guests walk up and head out that door, you turn around, you see, you're like, subhanAllah, what kind of shaitan just came out? Like, what is this? Right? It's like your mom, right? She's like the sweetest woman on earth when guests are over. The guests leave, and she's like, you stupid. Or like immediately the insults start hurling out. Like, so we don't ever want to be like that. We don't ever want to be like that. Where we're performing with people just for a period of time. Just for a period of time. Because those people, subhanAllah, will not know who you really are. The guests, you'll present your best part of yourself to your guests. That's a good thing. You should. Guests deserve honor, right? When you invite somebody to your home, you want to show them the beautiful part of your home and the beautiful part of yourself and whatever it was, right? But that does not mean that once the guests leave, your family can't even recognize you. How depressing is that? That, you know, whenever we see other people, my family acts so happy and so nice and so caring and so kind. And when there's nobody around us and it's just us, a whole different person. I've spoken to people in my own office about this. You know, like it's over and over again. Yeah, you know, my family members, my parents, my kids. When we have people over, it's like the best time ever. My dad is happy. My mom is happy. But when those guests leave and it's just us, they don't even talk to us. They didn't even spend time with us. Imagine if that's how we treated Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That when people are around us, we pray so beautifully. Well, when there's no one around us, the Isha prayer still needs to be prayed. But we have no ihtiram, no respect, no love, no muhabba to meet with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's like the evidence of when we pray in public, we're taking our sweet time and praying. When we're praying in private, what is it? Suratul Ikhlas, Suratul Kawthar. Boom, done. Right? Those two salawat, and then we're done. We try to spend the least amount of time. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, فَنَقَرَ أَرْبَعَ. They peck at the ground four times. That's all they do. And they don't remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their prayer, إِلَّا قَلِيلًا, except just a tiny little bit, and that's it. And subhanAllah, you know, if this was a friend that we were treating with, the friend would claim that this person really doesn't care about me. How can this friend care about me? They claim to care about me. They claim to love me. They only care about me when those other friends are around. And when those friends leave and it's just me and them one-on-one, there's no conversation. There's no meaningful time, no meaningful dialogue that is made. They just speak to me just to get it over with. Can you imagine, subhanAllah? We are so fortunate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ar-Rahman, y'all. We're so fortunate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Ghafoor, As-Salam. We're so fortunate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to love us despite our lack of showing that love to Him. Allah azza wa jal continues to give us food and shelter and family and loved ones despite the fact that we barely spend any time with Him. But sometimes it's so easy to do so on the exterior. And so then Imam al-Ghazali, he says something very powerful. He says, every day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks into your hearts and He says, وَكُلَّ يَوْمٍ. He says, every day He looks into, فِي قَلْبِكَ, into your hearts. يَقُولُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. And He says, what are you doing for other creatures, though you are surrounded by my kindness? Are you so deaf that you cannot even hear anymore? Now this is very interesting. The Arabic is actually beautiful. He says, مَا تَصْنَعُ بِغَيْرِي وَأَنْتَ مَحْفُوفٌ بِخَيْرِي. He says that, what are you doing for other creatures? And you are surrounded with so many blessings from me. What does this mean? It means, now check yourself. Allah talked about the internals. Now the opposite also applies. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done so much for each and every single one of us. Now what do you use the ni'am of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do? Do you use your blessings to please Allah, or do you use your blessings to neglect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Imam al-Ghazali, he says, by the way, you know the idea of shukr. Everyone knows the word shukr. The word shukr means what? Gratitude, right? He said, the highest form of shukr is a person who sees a blessing from Allah, and the only thing they can think about to do with that blessing is to somehow, some way, please the bestower of that blessing. It's like when you receive a gift from a friend, all you can think about to do with that gift is to somehow, some way, do something for that friend in return. Right? That friend gave me like a gift card to this restaurant. What's the first thing that person thinks about? Hey, you and me should go out to that restaurant, because you're the one that gave that to me. I don't want to use this gift for other people. Like, I want to share it with you, right? Now imagine the worst type of way to use that gift. To use it with another person, and then to spend that time at that restaurant backbiting the same person who gave you that gift. This is the opposite of shukr. This is the opposite of gratitude, right? There's a hadith I want to share with everybody here. It's very, very powerful, inshallah, before we close in the next 10 minutes. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says something beautiful. He says that مَن نَفَّسَ عَن مُؤْمِنٍ كُرْبَةً مِن كُرَبِ الدُّنْيَا نَفَّسَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ كُرْبَةً مِن كُرَبِ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. He says, if anyone removes one of the anxieties of this world from a believer, Allah will remove one of their anxieties on the Day of Judgment. You think about like being nervous on Yawm al-Qiyamah. How am I going to own up to all of my realities and all of these questions that I'm going to be asked? How do I come to terms with this? What does the Prophet ﷺ, he say? Remove a little difficulty from the people around you in this world. Remove some hardship from the people around you. Use a blessing that you have to benefit the people around you. This is the way to save yourself on the Day of Judgment, by the way. And then he says, if one smooths the way for one who is destitute and poor, Allah will smooth the way for him in this world and in the next. And if one conceals the faults of a Muslim, Allah will conceal their faults in this dunya and in the hereafter. Look how poetically reflective this relationship is. Imam al-Ghazali, he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I've given you so much, what have you done with those things to benefit the people around you? You've been given a heart that is beating. Use that heart to feel for other people around you. How much of a deprivation is it for a person who has a beating, working heart to not feel for those around them? You look at something that should tremble the heart, and that heart feels nothing. Allah gives you a tongue to say beautiful things to other people, and that tongue is only used to curse and to backbite. Allah gives you ears to listen to things, to learn things, and we only use that ear to consume haram, those eyes to consume haram. One of the ways to attain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to use the faculties He gave you to benefit the people around you. Ask yourself, am I selfish with my blessings? By the way, there's a difference between the gifts that you give people and the gifts that Allah gives you. The gifts that we internally give other people, they have limitations. That Target gift card is $25 on it. Once you spend it, there's nothing left. That $100 Best Buy gift card only has $100 on it. Once you spend it on like one SD card, you're done. You're cooked. Okay? But the gifts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you have no limitations. The gifts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you has no limitations. Y'all ever feel like, you know, sometimes when somebody gives you a gift, you're like, man, I gotta use this thing. I gotta use this thing before it like loses like its value, or I gotta use it while it's still relevant. The gifts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do not have an expiration date. The blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do not have an expiration date. Use those blessings that Allah gave you to benefit those around you. And I'll tell you even more. When a person uses the blessings that Allah gives them and they use it to help other people, Allah will only increase them in that blessing. You use your time to benefit others, what will Allah do to that time? Expand it. Expand it. When a person only uses their time for their own selfish reasons, what will they find out about their time? It's gone. I lose my time all the time. When a person uses the wealth that Allah gave them to benefit the people around them, what do they always find? What do we say in Islam? When a person gives sadaqah, what would Allah do to your money? He will double it. He will increase your wealth. This is the idea of zakat, to purify your wealth. Allah will purify your wealth and increase it. What does every sheikh say during a fundraiser? Who wants to give 10,000? Me. May Allah reward you and increase you. Why? Why does he say that? Because we believe it fundamentally. But if a person hoards all their money and they buy it themselves, only things, right? How many of us in here, wallah, I'm telling you guys right now, how many people in here, we sincerely, genuinely enjoy spending money to pay for food for our family and friends? If it's such a beautiful feeling. Some of y'all are like, man, I'm broke. I don't even pay for myself. So like, y'all lucky, bro. I'm much of other people. So like, it's, but subhanAllah, think about it. You have above 20 bucks in your bank account one day, inshallah, right? You're like, you know what? Sonic Blaster on me, right? Like Brahms Twister on me. $1.79, I got you. You know, so like, you know, when we have the opportunity, y'all, trust me. Do your best to share the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the people around you. Allah will only increase you. And then the final thing he says in this chapter, and it's so powerful, he says at the very end, he says, أَمَا أَنْتَ أَصُمُّ لَا تَسْمَعُ. He says, are you so deaf that you cannot hear? Meaning that your ears are supposed to hear, but you are so deaf, you are so blind, you're so hard-hearted that the faculty, what it's supposed to do, no longer does its basic function anymore. Your ears, by the way, do a lot more than just hearing. Everyone know this, right? Your ears can hear, your ears can internalize, your ears can listen. Right? Ask Sheikh Mikhail, he wrote a book about it. Right? Your eyes don't just see. Your eyes do much more than seeing. Your heart does much more than feeling. But the bare minimum of what it's supposed to do is hear, see, and feel. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to Imam al-Ghazali, he says, are you so deaf that you cannot do the basic function, you cannot even hear? Then what's the point of even having this thing? What's the point of even having your heart? What's the point of even having your eyes, right? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us. Inshallah, we'll pause with that for Salatul Maghrib. Next week, we are about to embark upon one of the most legendary lines that Imam al-Ghazali has ever written in his life, okay? I'll give you guys a little sneak peek preview right here. This is it right here. We're going to talk about this for a long time next week, inshallah. Knowledge without action is insanity. Majnoonun. And action without knowledge is vanity, yakunu. So inshallah, we're going to talk about this inshallah next Thursday when we meet again for Soul Food. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to be people of remembrance. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of the people who are reminding ourselves about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every situation that we have in our lives. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow our faculties to do their jobs, to feel and to see and to hear. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from negligence, from mindlessness, from heedlessness. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us in this dunya and the hereafter. Ameen ya rabbil alameen. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika wa nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Inshallah, we'll see you guys next Thursday for another session of Soul Food. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We're going to, inshallah, pray Maghrib in the Masalla immediately. So, inshallah, if everybody wants to kind of make their way over, that would be, inshallah, perfect. All right? Jazakallah khairan, y'all.